And we're live.
Welcome back, everyone. Episode 83 of Kids Deserve It. We hope you've been enjoying our weekly chats with educators and game changers from around the country. Also, don't forget, you can check us out on iTunes.
And while you're over on iTunes, make sure if you leave us a review, we will be selecting a winner each week to an autographed book set from Adam and I.
Also, don't forget to join our Kids Deserve It chat on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. This week, we got another great guest, but first, we want to introduce ourselves. I am Adam Welcome, Director of Innovation in the Bay Area of California.
My name is Todd Nesloney. I'm an elementary school principal in Navasota, Texas. And our special guest this week is Wes Kieschnick. Wes, thanks for being here.
Hey, it's great to be here. Todd, Adam, appreciate you guys for having me on.
We also want to remind our viewers to participate in social media using the hashtag #KidsDeserveIt, whether you're watching this live or the recording later. We love hearing about the things that stick out to you.
So, Wes, we got a few questions for you. So, for those that don't know about you, man, tell us about yourself.
Yeah, so I say this in my bio all the time whenever I'm talking to people. Like, there's the most important thing people need to know about me is that I love teaching. I love it like it's a problem. I love teaching so much. I married a teacher. I love teaching so much. I write books and articles about teaching, and that's where my heart lives. I was a high school history teacher for about 12 years before I took an assistant principalship and then was a director of instructional development and ultimately dean of education, then worked in a district capacity in a school district. But it was one of those things where I just kind of like progressed up the ladder, and I discovered very quickly that, you know, like you at the district office and like Todd in his school, like you guys have a passion for the work that you're doing. And I realized very quickly, like, man, I need to backpedal a little bit because my passion is right back where I started. It's in the classroom. It's with teachers. It's kind of at the ground level in the trenches doing that work. And that kind of led me to my current role as a senior fellow at the International Center for Leadership and Education, where I have the most awesome job ever, in that I get to teach teachers and coach teachers and co-learn with teachers every single day in states all over the country and countries all around the world. It's awesome.
Nice.
I love it. Well, Wes, I got to say, you know, you just released your new book, Bold School, and, you know, I got to read it, and it is fantastic. I mean, you already know, I've already bragged to you about it, but to our listeners and viewers, I got to say, you know, I enjoyed reading it so much. I see a lot of the stuff that you share. You and I have been connected for a little over a year and a half now, and so it's just been neat to kind of watch you grow, but then to read that book from you and your perspective, I thought it was just a fantastic read. Can you tell our viewers a little bit about it, how it came to be, all that kind of stuff?
Thank you, man. First off, I so appreciate the support from both you guys, and just all the support and the momentum around the book is really exciting. I, like you, am a technophile in the sense that I love technology. I love technology. I think it can do great things in the hands of really masterful teachers. But I was having a really hard time reconciling that with the fact that, like, I'm also a super, like, I'm an old soul at heart, and I'm a super huge fan of just like old school wisdom and old school teaching that really works for kids. Mm-hmm. And in all the conversations I kept hearing, those seemed like divergent paths, like they weren't converging anywhere. Teachers were self-classifying themselves as either old school or new school. And the book Bold School is just a mashup of the words blended and old school to form Bold School, nice. Right? And my hope was that teachers could read Bold School and, regardless of where they reside on the spectrum, where they consider themselves old school or new school teachers, find a place where they fit and where technology fits. My whole purpose was to make sure that we don't lose like the Aristotles of our time because they're being told that the things they've always done are bad. Like, let's figure out how to use digital tools in a way that's really constructive and productive so that we can elevate those practices that we know work with kids and make teachers better and more efficient and more wonderful about at the things that they've been awesome at for a really long time, while integrating the tech tools that kids are going to need to survive and thrive in the jobs that they'll ultimately have.
Nice. So you talked about coming up through the ranks, teacher administration, and now just working like in this really global position. Where do you get your inspiration from, like then, but also now?
I find all of my inspiration from really great teachers, and that can include really great teachers, educators like yourself, like Todd. Like, I find tons of great inspiration out there on social media, out there on Twitter, from guys like you who are doing great work. And then I draw so much of my inspiration from the really great teachers that I get to interface with every single day. Like, you guys know this. You're out there doing work. Like, I'm astounded at the incredible teachers that are out there toiling away, literally, in my opinion, just performing things that I think are miraculous every single day in classrooms across the country, in these little like nooks and crannies mm-hmm. of places that you've never heard of, but you can walk into and find these teachers who are just like doing these life-changing things for kids. Like that's where I draw my inspiration from. And they're doing things that most people will never hear about. And so what I'm trying to do, and I tried to do this in the book as well, is make sure their story gets told. It's so much less about, you know, my expertise, and it's so much more about like trying to use myself as a vessel to spread and share their expertise. That's where I draw my inspiration from.
That's great. That's so, you know, nice. All the time teachers are asking for advice. So what advice would you give to teachers maybe who are struggling to connect with kids? Let's pick that one. What advice would you give to teachers for that?
You're good. Advice for teachers who are struggling to connect with kids. Number one, don't view relationship as something soft, right? Like I get so frustrated when I hear people refer to relationships as like, oh, like building relationships with kids is like a soft skill. Like, no, it is a cornerstone. It is a foundational piece, right? Like we all know from our time in the classroom, like if we don't have relationships with kids, then virtually nothing else that we're trying to do, whether it's academics, whether it's classroom management, like none of that other stuff goes without relationships, right? And so that's one really key piece of advice. And my kind of addendum to that is like when we're thinking about technology, make sure that we approach technology in such a way that it's not an added layer between you and kids, because that happens a lot of times. Like mm-hmm. we want to make sure that technology is increasing points of connectivity with children, not decreasing points of connectivity so that, oh man, great, now I have these devices, I can go kick it at my desk for a while. Like, no.
Wrong answer.
Yeah, wrong answer. Like, we want the technology to increase the number of touch points, not decrease the number, so that we can, again, form those relationships, because it's a foundation, it's a cornerstone.
100%. So thinking about this upcoming year, like, what is something that you're working on growing with?
Oh, that's a great question. What's something I'm working on growing with? There's a thousand things I'm working on growing with. So one of the big things that I'm always working on is I have a lot of coaching conversations with teachers, right? I have a lot of coaching conversations with teachers. And so this is just good for all of us as teachers, as school administrators, but just ensuring my communication matches my intent, right? A really great mentor I had told me one time that 90% of communication is how it's interpreted by the receiver, right? It so doesn't matter what I mean, it so does matter how it's received. And so it's something I'm working on. It's something I work on every day to make sure that my communication with educators comes consistently from a place of respect, a place of valuing the whole person and who they are. And that's a constant area of growth for me, because the minute we feel like we're masterful at it, we got a lot more to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So think about you growing up as a student. Now, what kind of student were you?
Oh, you know what? I was a good student. I was a good student. I was a really good student, not because I would describe myself as particularly smart. I just figured out how to do school really early. And you know, that's one of those things that academically served me really well. But I had a lot to learn in the real world after I was done with school. I would have benefited a lot from a teacher who challenged me to move beyond just like, okay, I'm going to get my A and like, don't bother me. And then I'm going to move on. You know, that's kind of the kid I was. I needed a teacher to really push my thinking around school and being there for A's versus being there for authentic learning and growth.
So Wes, who is someone like maybe specifically that really inspires or even challenges you to be better?
There's a guy I talk about in chapter one of my book. He is one of my mentors. He's Kirk Datto. He was a longtime high school teacher in Ames, Iowa. Iowa was the state where I grew up. I begged him. He was my cooperating teacher when I was a student teacher. I begged that man to let me be his student teacher. And the first time I asked him, he told me no. He was a couple years away from retirement, but he was the embodiment of that like old school wisdom that I talk about in the book. He was an absolute rock star teacher. He was one of those teachers that he was a history teacher. He could stand behind a podium and absolutely make anything he was talking about come alive. And I was like, I need to learn from that guy. Like, he's the one who taught me like, man, like how to be a great storyteller, how to form really great relationships with kids. Kirk was the genesis for who I ultimately became as a teacher. And I'm a firm believer that everyone needs a Kirk Datto or somebody like that, like you guys are talking about, in their lives to be great at whatever role they want to succeed in, whether it's teaching, whether it's being a site principal, whether it's being an office, an administrator at the district level. That's an essential tool.
Nice.
So, you know, we all have those rough days, Wes, where we don't want to get out of bed or we're over it. What do you kind of do on those days to kick your butt into gear regardless?
Oh, that's a great question. I have those days. A lot of people who have seen me speak and know my level of excitement around teaching are just like, well, this is a crazy question. Weston doesn't have those days. Yeah, I do. I absolutely do. And on those days, I just have to remind myself, like, children depend on me doing a great job today, right? It's more indirect by virtue of the fact that I teach their teachers, but you know, whenever I think about it through that lens, right? Whenever I approach it from the perspective of like, man, kids depend on me to have a great day today, I can't help but approach my work with a sense of urgency. Yeah. I think every single masterful teacher that's out there approaches the work with a sense of urgency because of the fact they know, like, these are our children. Right? Like this is unlike any other job where you can go in and you can have a bad day and it's just like, well, you know what? There's always tomorrow. Like a lot of times for a lot of these kids, like it depends on today. Like today might be the day for them that it clicks. And that's what drives me.
Yep. That's right. Today's the day. All right, man. Every week we like our guests to leave a challenge for our viewers. What is your challenge for the week?
Yes, my challenge for the week. So I would love to challenge our viewers, again, wherever you stand on the education spectrum, whatever your role is, I challenge you right now. I would love for you to think about what are the two things that you are best at in your role, whether it's a teacher, a school administrator, a district administrator, what are the two things you're great at? Because whenever I go in, I told you, I coach teachers a lot. Whenever I go in and I talk to them about a lesson and how they think it went, as educators, we are awesome at naming things we are not good at, right? Mm-hmm. As educators, we are not always awesome at naming, like, man, here are the two things I am awesome at. And my challenge for you is be able to name those two things, have them on the tip of your tongue, be able to say what they are immediately. Number one, you have to acknowledge where your strengths are so that you can grow those. And number two, like, we have to know our strengths so that we can help to cultivate those strengths when we see them in other people. Right. And so I want to challenge all of our educator friends out there to look beyond, like, hey, you know what? Here are the places that I need to grow. Be able to name immediately what you're awesome at, and then cultivate that for the sake of being great for kids and awesome at those things every single day. It's such an important piece of the puzzle relative to just kind of thinking about our own practice that I think teachers miss sometimes.
That is fantastic. Well, Weston, thank you so much for coming on and being a guest for us this week. We really appreciate you coming.
Hey, thank you guys so much for having me. I love you. I love what you guys do. I love your book. Kids Deserve It is incredible. And thanks so much for having me. I appreciate you.
Thanks, man. Well, we want to remind our viewers as well that you can tweet us using the hashtag Kids Deserve It. Remember to check us out on iTunes and download the latest episodes and leave reviews for us so we can give away a free gift set. Check out our Twitter chats on Wednesday and our next guest, who is going to be Trevor Murr. Everybody, have a great week.